Hey, welcome back to the Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Poole, speaker, author, educator, leader, curator, all the good things, podcaster, just here having great conversation with you. And I'm so grateful that you've come back or that you've joined us for this conversation. We are in part two of a series entitled The Grass Isn't Greener. It's just uncut. Yes. And we're walking through this book written by Trevor Noah called Into the Uncut Grass. It's a picture book that's definitely not just for kids. Now, if you've been with me at any period of time, you already know that I feel like children's books are really adult books cloaked in imagination. And so this one is no exception. It is a picture book, but it is not a children's book. It's layered with wisdom and truth and imagination. And oh man, in part one, we talked about starting well. We explored the tension between chasing your dreams outside and neglecting what happens inside. We talked about self-awareness and discipline and maturity and the reality that sometimes the biggest barrier to growth isn't out there, but it's in here, in us even. And so we unpacked why it's important how we start, but just as important is how we see ourselves and how we see the world around us. They matter just as much as how we start. And I close with this thought that said, don't get so caught up in pursuing outside that you neglect inside. So today we're going to push into part two, and we are figuratively, literally, and even metaphorically pushing through to the next phase. And this episode, it's called The Stubborn Path to Understanding, the stubborn path to understanding. Yeah. And so I'll be reading part two of the book, like I always do, and then we'll talk about what it really means to grow past the familiar and to face the rusty gates. It'll make sense to you later in our lives, and how to stop confusing our stubbornness with strength. So let's get into it. Let's see. Part two of The Uncut Grass by Trevor Noah. Here we are. Remember, there's this boy. He doesn't have a name. He's just known as the boy. And his bear, Walter. Walter is his voice of reason. So here we go. The two friends held hands as they walked further and further away from the house. They passed the lawn chairs where the boy and his mother would sometimes read together, and the fire pit where they toast marshmallows. They passed the tire swing hanging from the short, thick-limbed tree. They even wandered past the old shed that, with the heavy lock on it. Finally, they arrived. The boy stopped and and took it all in, his eyes widening with adventure. Widening like an adventurer who had just reached an ancient treasure. The rusty gate, the boy said. We never come this far alone. I think there's a reason for that, the bear said with a slight shudder. The boy studied the gate. It seemed different today. Its twisted metal and rusted edges vibrating with whispers of magic. They had never come this far alone, it's true, but the boy had been here before with his mother. He remembered holding her hand as he inspected the neat green rows of herbs and blossoming flowers in their garden. And on those days, his eyes would sometimes wander to the other side of the gate, to the wild, the free, uncut grass that led into the shadowy woods. He'd walk closer to the gate, and squint his eyes, trying to see into the grass and the shadows. Wait, is that a creature over there? He would wonder. Are those gold coins catching the light? Is that a ghost? But then his mother would call him away from the gate back into the safety of the garden. Now the boy's eyes wandered in the opposite direction, away from the gate and back toward the house. He knew by now that the kitchen was filling with the smell of freshly made waffles. His mother's soft humming would be gently drifting from room to room. The colors in every part of the house would be gradually coming alive as the sun rose higher. Home. The bear watched as the boy quietly stared at the house. "I don't think it's too late," Walter said. "We could go back." The boy took a breath. He decided to be brave. Or foolish. "We've come too far, Walter. We're on our own now." The boy willed himself toward the rusty gate and slowly grabbed hold of its bars. And in that moment, the only force stronger than the boy's fear was his determination. He held on tight, leaned his body backward, and pulled as hard as he could. Walter pulled on the gate along with his friend, and even though his old bear muscles were not as strong as they once were, particularly, he thought, without a good breakfast. They pulled and pulled, and nothing. Frustrated, the boy stomped his feet and shouted, "Why won't this stubborn gate open?" "Maybe you're the stubborn one. The gate is just a gate." For a moment, the boy and the bear thought that the gate had spoken. Then they looked up, and at the top of the gate, a garden gnome had appeared. It hadn't made a sound until just then. "Greetings, strange travelers," the gnome said. "What brings you to the uncut grass?" "Hello," the boy said loudly. He wondered if pulling on the gnarly old gate had summoned this mysterious creature, but he didn't have time to figure that out. Wherever it had come from, the gnome was here and now, and waiting for his answer. "We left home to find adventure, built a new life, and finally be free," the boy explained. "Oh dear," the gnome said. "Were you in prison?" "No. But yes," the boy said, "a prison of rules. If I don't do exactly what my mother tells me to, I'm forbidden to leave the house." "Oh, that sounds hard," the gnome said, stroking his beard. "And what terrible things does your mother want you to do?"
"She wants us to make the bed," Walter said.
"Ah, making the bed," the gnome said, with a gentle laugh. "I've heard that humans struggle with this sometimes. But why do you hate it so much?"
"Have you ever tried making a bed?" the boy asked.
"Well, on our side of the gate, no one even has a bed," the gnome replied. "We sleep in trees or caves or just lay our heads down in the tall grass."
"That sounds like a dream," the boy said, "because making the bed is the worst part of every day. And the bed doesn't want to be made either. It stretches itself and becomes bigger so that the sheet doesn't fit. It swallows me with blankets whenever I try to cover it. And the whole time the pillows frown like unhappy uncles."
"That sounds like a real struggle," the gnome said.
"It is," the boy said. And even if every day begins with a battle, how can I ever find peace?"
The gnome looked at the boy with pity. But then, just for a moment, Walter thought he might have seen a small smile peeking through the gnome's eyes before quickly disappearing. The gnome spoke again. "What does your mother say when you tell her about your, terrible struggle?"
"We've never told her," Walter said.
"She wouldn't understand," the boy added. "She just wants to stop us from doing what we want."
"Oh," the gnome replied. "But why would she want to do that?"
The boy was baffled.
"Why? Why do grown-ups do anything?"
"Good question," the gnome said. "Why don't you ask her?"
"What difference would it make?"
"It makes all the difference." The gnome now lowered his voice as if to tell the boy an important secret. "Every person is just an obstacle unless you try to understand them. Even your own mother. It's like the way a gate can seem locked if you don't understand how it opens." The boy stopped pulling on the gate and pushed instead. The gate easily swung open, and he and Walter stumbled through, tumbling finally into the deep grass on the other side.
The gnome laughed. Well, good luck on the rest of your journey. I hope you find the answers you seek, and good luck with that bed.
The boy and the bear walked together for a moment in silence.
Huh, that was interesting, the boy finally said.
Yes, I know, the bear said. A talking gnome? Wow.
No, not that. I mean, yes, that's weird, but
we're not home anymore, Walter.
You should be prepared to see strange things.
Walter shrugged and the two friends continued walking.
I wonder if things would be different if our mother understood, the boy said.
Or if you did, Walter answered. The forest of the uncut grass now stood just before them. They gazed at it quietly until the silence was broken and a ferocious grumble from Walter's stomach happened.
Oh, man. So Walter and the boy come to a rusty gate. Can we just talk about this gate for a moment? I mean, we not even a gnome yet, just a rusty gate, right? That, like, have you ever felt like you were at a place where like a place in life where you have never been before? Like you were just in this thing and in this season that it just feels new and unfamiliar to you. Like everything in you says, go back, turn back. Let's not do this. Let's go back to what's familiar. Let's just do that. Right? And so the boy and Walter, they walk up to this rusty gate, and all of us, y'all, all of us have rusty gates in our lives. Like, there are places we won't go. There are conversations we avoid. There are emotions we don't name. There are ideas we won't even let ourselves think. Why? Because it's unfamiliar. Yep. But listen, the further you move away from what's familiar, the more opportunity you'll have for self-discovery. Yep. And that gate, it was more than just an object. That gate, it's a metaphor, a symbol of the rules we live by, the emotional boundaries we don't cross. It's the old thoughts we don't question. We all have some rusty gates in our lives. The book says, we have never come this far alone. Like, that line stuck with me. Like, because sometimes we have to go further from the familiar to discover who we really are. But the deeper truth is this. Sometimes we have to go alone. Sometimes the voices that have comforted us, the ones that have always been with us, can also be the voices that keep us stuck. They can comfort and keep us from moving forward. Do you hear me? They can comfort us and they can keep us from moving forward. Let me tell you something. We need to quiet the noise. Not just the noise around us, the noise that's happening in our heads and our hearts, so that we can hear, we can actually listen. So we can hear what's true. See, here's the way I think about it. Hearing happens with the ears. Sight happens with the eyes. But listening and seeing, that happens in the heart. And if our hearts are noisy, we're going to miss some things. We're going to miss some things. And so can we just talk a little bit about what we call safe? Here's the lie we've been told, that if it's familiar, then it's safe. But what if familiar is just a trap? What if we've been conditioned to believe that this idea of comfort and predictability is really not a safety net? What if it's just a net?
Oh man. Oh man. I love this. I love this. And not a net for protection, but I'll rate it this way. It's one designed to keep you tied to people, patterns, and systems that benefit your smallness. You'll never be able to grow beyond that net. Like something that's designed to keep us from, or to keep us dependent on systems and story or people who are secure in their own limitations. Oh, like, yeah, they want us to live within their limitations. And so they want to keep us in the gate. The truth is, long before the boy reached the gate, long before him and Walter run up on this rusty gate, he was already stuck. He was already trapped, not by chains, not by the door of the house, not by the chores in the house, but by his own mindset. Sometimes the very thing keeping us from becoming our best self is us. Let's just let that sit for a moment. Now, here's where it gets real. I love the another line in the book that I love is when the boy screams out about the gate being stubborn, and the gnome says, maybe it's not the gate that's stubborn. The gate is just a gate. Oh, man. We all desire to be strong, right? Like the boy didn't feel like he was strong enough to open the gate. But maybe what he was demonstrating wasn't strength. It was stubbornness. Like standing your ground and not backing down. You know, we call that strength. But here's the truth. Some of us are calling strength what really is just stubbornness. Let's break it down for me. Let's break it down. I know. Let's break it down. Stubbornness is emotional. It's not rational, logical. It is based and rooted in ego and pride and fear. It says, I won't move even if I should. It begins, right? It's really about being right at the cost of your own growth. Some of your relationships are in trouble because you just want to be right. And it's not helping the relationship. And so what if you're right? Now what? It doesn't move the thing closer to resolution. It doesn't solve the thing. It doesn't bring y'all closer together. I digress. So stubbornness is emotional. Determination is different. The determination is it's focused. It's purposeful. It's grounded in who we are and what we're here to do. It says, I'm going to keep going and keep moving forward, even if the road changes. I'm not going to get stuck that this is the way I want to go. I'm just going to do it this way. No. Determination, it leaves room for wisdom. See, stubbornness is rigid, but determination is resilient. And listen, this is important. One of the issues that the boy has is that he has mistaken his privilege for a prison. Having his mother to give him direction, to give him what he needed is really a privilege to have wisdom in your life. But he sees it as a prison. And just because he has a right to choose, and just because you have a right to choose, doesn't mean you're making the right choice. I'm telling you, your stubbornness will get you in trouble. And it brings me back, right? It reminds me again of the boy and his mother. Like, she was trying to give him preparation for life. She wasn't trying to hold him back from his adventure. She wasn't. He saw her rules as a wall
or a gate. And because she was not giving him what he wanted, he felt trapped. See, what she was giving him was wisdom and discipline, not to trap him, but to help him, to equip him for the freedom that he was so eager to get. If you don't have wisdom and discipline, you will not experience freedom. Because freedom is not the absence of rules. It is the wise application of those rules. Okay. Freedom requires discipline, not control. Discipline. So when I see discipline as control, then what I do is I end up becoming stubborn and I start wasting resources meant for my purpose. I start wasting them on my emotions driving my stubbornness. And what are these resources we talk about? I'm talking about your time, your energy, your intellect, your creativity, your attention. And these resources are not limitless. You only have a finite amount of these. And so I have to direct them towards the things that matter because they're sacred. My time, my energy, my intellect, my creativity, my attention, they are sacred. And they are given to build something meaningful, not to burn me out trying to fight a fight I shouldn't be fighting. Okay. This is why maturity matters. This is why we had that conversation last time about maturity. This is why I want to continue to lift it up and highlight it. Maturity matters. It means that I'm doing the work on the inside. That's what maturity calls for. Doing my inside work so I can experience the freedom outside. And because you don't learn to steward the inside stuff, you'll end up squandering your freedom outside. Yep, that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, adventure, it involves a risk and not just a risk of what's out there, but it involves the risk of facing what's in here. If I want adventure in my life, and I believe that we all to some degree do, and for some people want more adventure than others, but all of us want something worth living towards. And that is an adventure. It requires us to face what's happening on the inside and not just be stubborn about what we want. Yep. So, okay. So let's sit with this right here. Where have you been stubborn lately? Like, where are you calling something determination, but it's really stubbornness? It's not grounded. You're not discerning. You're just holding tightly to something that you might need to let go of. Like, is it really helping? Or is it keeping you from what's next? Can I challenge you this week, whenever you hear this, to look at your life and consider what's one rusty gate you have in your life? What's a rusty gate that you've been even afraid to cross? Ask yourself, what am I really holding on to? And what is it costing me? And then I want you to ask yourself, what might happen if you choose understanding instead of resistance? Y'all, sometimes we are staging a resistance against our purpose because we're stubborn. Okay. So in our next episode, right,
We're going to explore what it means to come home to physically, emotionally, spiritually. The journey that we're on doesn't end at the gate. There's more. There's more. But for now, take the risk. Cross the gate. Do the inside work so that you can experience the freedom outside. Man, so good. So good. If you need help with this, it's a secret, but it's getting out. March 25th, my book, Developing a Durable Mind, has amazing tools to help you do the inside work. Yep, it's going to be available on Amazon, so you can go on and click and purchase your... I'm just telling you, it's coming. I need you to get that copy because it's going to help you with this inside work. It's going to help you with it. Okay, remember this. You are exactly enough. Now go do your work. I'll see you next time.